man necessarily the way we should go. I mean, I could imagine if you were in a strange city or came to a strange city and we had to ask people for direction for our spiritual lives, just what a difficulty that would be. You know, in John 14:6, Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come unto the Father but by me." He is the way that one should go. He is the truth that one should obey, and he is the life that one should live. But I believe that even though Jesus makes this statement, if you had to ask other people and rely on their answers, you might get all kinds of answers as to which way you should go spiritually. And I imagine for some, you know, Christianity is a way, but maybe not the way. So you might get answers like just be a morally good person. That might be one of the answers you might get. If I ask someone, hey, which way should I go spiritually? I just want to make my way with God. I want to be right with God. I want to find out how I can be pleasing to God. One day I want to go to heaven. Well, just do the best you can. Just be a morally good person and you'll go to heaven. That might be an answer you'd get. The problem with that answer, though, is we have a man named Cornelius in Acts chapter 10 who was a very morally good man, you'd say. And yet, what they would have to answer for us is as to why he is having to send for Peter. So this morally good man, if ever there was a morally good man that could have been saved on the basis of morality alone, surely it would have been Cornelius. But for some reason, Cornelius is being asked to send for Peter. And when you get to Acts chapter 11 and verse number 14, the Bible says, "Whereby he might tell you words." That he might give you words whereby thou, notice he didn't just come to save Cornelius' house as if Cornelius was already good, but the Bible goes a long way to tell us that whereby thou and all thy house shall be saved. So we know that morality alone is not going to necessarily save anyone or have anyone justified before God. There might be someone saying, hey, you know what, just render a good service unto God. Some people live by that very creed. They live on the basis that if they just do good things here and there, then they can be pleasing unto the God of heaven. But in Luke 6:46, Jesus asked this question. "And why call ye me Lord, Lord," he says, "and do not the things which I say?" I believe there was a man named Saul of Tarsus who was rendering a service. And he certainly was zealous. He was zealous because of the gods of his fathers. He was zealous because of the God of his fathers. He was zealous because of the Jews' religion. And he certainly was a man who was doing everything in sincerity. He had a good conscience, he said. He was not defiling his conscience in what he did. And he thought that he was doing what was right. And he was trying to do things based on what he thought was right as it was actually going against the Jews' religion. And so if a man could render a service, then why was Saul of Tarsus not acceptable before God if it was a matter of just rendering a good service? Certainly he did that, and he did it truly according to what he thought was right. The problem is people are trying to render a service to God on their own terms. And you can't render a good service to God on your own terms. If you're going to render a good service to God, it must be on his terms. Now the Bible tells us in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." In Romans 6:23, we find that the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. So if you have all men under sin and then you have the wages of sin leading to death, then how is a dead man going to truly render God a service? He can only render God a service as it pertains to God telling him the conditions by which he can render that service, and one would have to come into Christ in order to render him that service. Religion is much more than simply conduct. Luke describes Christianity, it seems, in his favorite way of describing it. He describes it as the way, or this way, or that way. In Acts chapter 9, verse number 2, the Bible says, "Saul desired letters from Damascus that if he found any of this way, he might bind them, either with man and woman, he might bind them and bring them back to Jerusalem." In Acts 19, verse number 9 and verse number 23, the Bible says they were speaking evil of that way. In Acts chapter 24, verse number 22, we find that the governor Felix had knowledge of that way. And all of these terms refer to Christianity as the way of salvation, according to Acts chapter 16 and verse number 7. The way of the Lord, God, is the way this is also described in Acts chapter 18, verse number 25 and verse number 26. It is the way of Christ. And it brings back to mind the very words that Jesus spoke when he said in John 14, in order to comfort his disciples, that I am the way. I am the way. I am the truth. Jesus Christ certainly is the way. He is the only way. He describes himself as the way. And to follow Christ is to follow the good way. Jeremiah even admonished all ancient Israel that they were to ask and to follow the good way. Anytime you follow God, you're following the good way. So Jeremiah, trying to get Israel to come back to God and trying to get them to repent and trying to get them to recognize that they were leaving the way, he says, stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein. Obviously, they decided not to walk therein, and certainly they were going to bring upon themselves the punishment from God. But he told them that you need to find and ask for the old paths, and where is the good way? Jesus is the good way. And all who will follow him follows the good way. So Jesus actually invites all. No wonder he says, I am the way, because he invites all men to come follow him. In Matthew 11, 28, Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. To follow Jesus is to follow the good way. But to follow Jesus is also to follow the narrow way. In Matthew chapter 7 and verse number 14, Jesus said, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leads unto life. And few, he says, there be that find it. You know, when you think about what Jesus said about the narrow way, he's contrasting it with the broad way. And he, in other words, Jesus has been all this time in the Sermon on the Mount contrasting his teaching versus the scribes and the Pharisees and those who had actually added to God's word with their own traditions and commandments, those commandments of men. And here they were giving way to all the external observances and things of that nature and outward acts of righteousness. But Jesus says that's the broad way, but always preferred by many. Even to this day, Jesus's way, his teaching, stands in contrast to the teaching of the world. But because the teaching of the world always emphasizes outward things, external things, do an act and you're acceptable, it does not deal with the inward reformation, the internal reformation or the internal transformation toward God. And that was Jesus' teaching. Jesus' teaching got inward and told an individual to reform, told an individual to transform, and it dealt with the condition of the heart. But man today would rather have those external outward acts of righteousness whereby he feels like he could be justified before God. Well, that's the broad way that leads to destruction. But Jesus' teaching that depends on internal reformation leads to life. Jesus is a narrow way, and it appears that even today, people would rather have those outward external. You know, if we're not careful, we'll have it in the church. If we're not careful, we'll think we can also do the same thing. If I show up to church, I've done my act. If I get the Lord's Supper, I've done my act. You hear Christians sometimes talk like that. I got the Lord's Supper. Well, is that all? Is that it? Is that going to take care of it? Well, I gave my money. Well, you know, all these things, it can end up becoming external observances that we feel like justifies us before God. But not so. His word still intends for us to be received into the heart and then to go outward as we take in Christ's teaching and live accordingly, being changed and being transformed and conforming then to his word. Following Jesus is an open way because it is open to all. When Jesus commissioned the disciples to go out and teach the world, he says, go ye therefore into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Not only that, it is a holy way. Isaiah 35, verse number 8, Isaiah says, it shall be called the way of holiness, because the Lord is going to remove all the obstacles hindering holiness. It is going to be the way of holiness because in this way, God's ways will be followed. So God's teaching, his law, and all of those things will be in his way for all those who are therein to be able to follow the ways of the Lord. Jesus, my friends, is the only way to salvation. He is the way out. You see, sin enslaves, but Jesus can save a soul from sin. In Acts 4, verse number 12, they said, the Bible says, neither is there any creature, neither is there any other name, I'm sorry, neither any other name whereby we must be saved. There is none other name under heaven given among men, rather, whereby we must be saved. So there is salvation in no other but the name of Jesus Christ. He is the way out of sin that has enslaved mankind. He is the way through. He makes adequate preparation for the future. He can help us through any tough and difficult situation. In 1 Corinthians 10:13, Paul says, there had no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape that ye may be able to bear it. He is not only the way through, he is the way in. There is no other way into the abundant life except by Jesus Christ. Jesus in John 10:10 said, for the thief cometh not but to steal, to kill, and to destroy, but I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. He also is not only the way in, the way through, he is the way up. He is the way up to the God of heaven. So in John 14, Jesus says, in order to comfort his disciples, let not your hearts be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions, and if it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. But Thomas said unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh unto the Father but by me. He is not only the way out of sin. He is not only the way through our difficulties. He is not only the way into the abundant life, but he is the way up to the Father. So truly, Jesus is the only way. There may be many men who believe and will give us directions telling us that this is a way and that is a way and you can go this way, you can go that way. But Jesus sets it all in place when he says, I am the way. Not only is he the way, he's the truth. The truth is a goal that should be sought out by an honest mind. When you have an honest heart, you're seeking truth. And God has put his truth in the world. And we should desire to know the truth. In fact, in John 8:32, when Jesus talking to those dishonest Jews, said, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. In fact, it is the truth that God uses to set us apart. John 17:17. Sanctify them through thy truth. He says, thy word is truth. My friends, the value of belief depends on what we believe. The truth is worth believing. And the truth is the only thing truly worth believing. In Matthew 16:13, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Now, whatever answers they give, only the truth is going to be worth believing. He's not John the Baptist. He's not Elijah. He's not Jeremiah or one of the prophets. So Jesus turns to his disciples after hearing all the things that folk are saying about you. He said, but whom do ye say that I am? And then Peter opens his mouth to say, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood had not revealed it unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee, thou, Peter, upon this rock, on this great confession that I am the Christ, the Son of the living God, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now that was some truth worth believing. And so he found the truth, an honest heart, and then admitted and confessed that Jesus was truly the Christ. My friend, the whole system of Christianity hinges on Jesus being the Christ. It hinges on this then being the truth. Christianity then is a system of truth in Titus chapter 2. This system of truth, known as the grace of God, teaches us. And so Paul will say in verse number 11, that the grace of God that bringeth salvation to all men teaches us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world. Now, if you go back and read what Paul has been dealing with in Titus, you will find that Paul was dealing with the fact that living righteously and living godly is demanded by God's truth. And so Paul states that in terms of the grace of God's truth, the gospel grace, the system of God's grace, taught and known as the gospel, my friends, teaches us that if we deny worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. It is a system that teaches truth. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12 and 13. Paul said he know in whom he had believed. He staked everything on the truth that he believed, on the truth that what he had believed and what he had obeyed and what he was now living was the truth. And he said he knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that he was going to be able to commit that to him, that he or give to him that which he had committed against that day. In 2 Timothy 4, Paul writes to Timothy and charges him to preach the word. He says, and be instant, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Why did he tell him to preach the word? Because it was the truth. And he told him, you just stand on the truth. And he said, do it in season and out of season. Why? Because it is a system of truth. And it demands that those who will preach God's truth must preach it at all times. And so, my friends, Christianity is a system of truth. Jesus says he is the truth. Christianity, though, is even more than truth. It is the life. One group may say Christianity is a life. Christian religion is more than simply just believing something. It is more than just a life. It is the life. Many who believe sometimes in experiences and visions and all these kind of things, you notice that the people who believe in that stuff are always hazy to doctrine. You see, but when you get down to it, the Bible reveals doctrine. It reveals doctrine by which you and I should live. Paul says in 2 Timothy 3, 16, 17, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be perfect or thoroughly furnished unto every good work. Coming to Christ involves us hearing and believing and obeying his truth. Far too many believe that experience is the supreme test, you know, by which they understand that they are doing the right thing. If I experience a certain thing or a certain thing happened at a certain time, then I can truly say that God is with me. Why not just live God's truth and know that you are doing his will based on what he has given in his word? Christianity is more than just believing and living according to a set standard of rules. Some people believe they go actually to the extreme. If I do this and I do that and I do that, then obviously that's going to commend me to God. My friends, but the heart obviously has to play a part in that. But it's a little bit more than just simply keeping rules and regulations. Christianity is a life to be lived. It is the best life to live. It is the life that is totally dependent upon God and is wrapped up in Jesus Christ and him crucified. That's why Paul says in Galatians 2:20, for I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I. He said, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the grace of the Son of God, who loved me, he said, and gave himself for me. The world needs a complete religion. In the first century, the disciples were called Christians. In Acts 11 and verse number 26, it was then and is today the only religion that embodies what Christ was, what he is, and what he forever will be. Jesus is the way, he is the truth, and he is the life. And the only way to the Father is through him. That, my friends, is Christianity. And if you're here tonight, you want to be a part of Christianity, you want to be a part of the way, there's only one way. You want to be a part of the truth, you want to accept the truth, you want to obey the truth, there's only one way. And if you want access to the Father by living that life, there's only one way, and it's through Jesus Christ. You got to believe in him. You got to repent of your sins to send him to the cross. You got to be willing to confess his sweet name. You got to acknowledge that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and you've got to be baptized, immersed with him for the remission of your sins so you can contact his shed blood on your behalf. If you do that, then God will add you to his church through Christ's body. You can't get away from Christ. Christ is all in everything. And you just can't get away from him. He'll add you to Christ's body. And one day Christ will come back and get you, take you to heaven, to those mansions that he was preparing for those disciples and for all those who love his appearing. If you need to respond to this invitation, come now as we stand and sing the invitation song.